Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Throws a matching pass upfield. Reggie Town Fields gathers it in on the dead run and races all the way to score for Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
He sees a whole burst through it. 20.
Steps a tackle. Runs left. 25. Still on his feet. 46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek Ciapala and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio, sponsored by Tick Pick, which should be your first choice to buy football tickets because they save fans cold, hard cash by never charging service fees ever. Tick Pick is the exclusive ticketing partner for Rams Talk Radio and the Blue Wire Network, which we're proudly a part of. It's Derek Ciapala here with former Los Angeles Rams defensive back Michael Stewart. Mike, 34-24. Rams defeat the defending Super Bowl champs in front of a raucous home field at SoFi Stadium. How are you feeling being 3-0 coming off that victory?
Hey, hey, hey. It's the Rams. They came to play. I just feel like throwing a little Fat Albert in there on there.
Man, hey, pretty,
yeah, it was, man, pretty impressive. So, man, I can't wait for us to get in some of the details. But just right off, it's just nice, one, to win at home. And obviously, new stadium, you know, get to fully use it this year. Rams were rocking. The fans were rocking and rolling. So, yeah, man, it's kind of a big time win. But, you know, like anything, you don't want this to be, oh, you know, they beat the Super Bowl, so they automatically in the Super Bowl. No, a lot of football left, but seen a lot of improvement from week to week.
You know, it's I think, you know, one, Steve and Johnny did a great job covering the postgame on Sunday night. We're not going to try and rehash everything they talked about. A couple days later, having some time to think about this game, you know, it just kind of hit me. Especially for you, you know, I'm not trying to any way be offensive to the old man here, but I mean, you've been around a bit longer. You have memories of playing Anaheim and seeing all the drama going on. You remember the team moving. You remember everything. And I gotta think there is something special about seeing this team back in L.A. in what I think is now the crown jewel stadium in the NFL. And no, they're not going anywhere again. They are staying in L.A.
all that perspective, I gotta wonder, Mike, how's that feel to you? I mean, you saw this the first, you know, I mean, the first year back in the Coliseum, it was nice, but I never felt like that's a true home field advantage. Now I feel like the Rams have a real deal home field advantage, and it's the first time in a long time.
Well, you know, when you're talking about the L.A. Coliseum, I mean, we can go back to the early days when they were playing, but technically always shared with USC, right? And then you talk about Anaheim Stadium. Man, it's baseball field, you know, the first 3-4 games of the year. And it's like, man, you just knew when you got down there to that infield side, you were going to be slipping and sliding. So, yes, man, to your point. Now, technically, all we need to do is get these Chargers to go back on down to San Diego, and then it would really be, you know, truly ours. But absolutely, there's no doubt that you feel like you have home, you're at home. And again, when you're talking about the flagship team, it kind of doesn't matter. It's like the Lakers and Clippers. Okay, Clip City, whatever they call themselves. Yeah, man, you're always going to be Clip City. You're not going to be the Lakers. There's too much tradition. There's too many championships. And that's going to be the same. And that is the same with the Rams. So, yeah, but it definitely feels more like an absolute advantage watching that game Sunday, that it's like the fans are realizing, yes, this is our stadium. Let's come out and make it happen for our team.
But I mean, I won't let this go so easily. Like, there's a lot of history for you there. I mean, you saw a lot of this drama back in the 80s and 90s about how this franchise really fell on some hard times. And now we're seeing a franchise that is, I mean, they've turned it around. I still believe they're gonna take some medicine down the line, but right now they're contenders and they're probably gonna be for a couple years. And I have no doubt in my mind that they have the right people at the helm that will keep them contending most of the time. We all know they'll be down years here and there. We never, I mean, thinking back from 2000, you know, 5 and 6 on to about 17, you never felt that way. A good portion of the 90s, you felt like this team was lost. I just, for you, especially having played, having worn the horns, having watch this all firsthand, there's got to be more to it than just what you said, though.
Well, when you look at it, DC, and folks that may be listening, I look at the coach, right? So my early years were John Robinson, and I had to be reminded how much I loved the Rams growing up. But it talked about in the year before I got there, 86, 84, 85 of all the years, 6 out of the 7 years, they went to the playoffs, you know. So my rookie year, 87, really was the year we probably would have went to the Super Bowl if not for the strike. And I tell everyone, if we don't trade Eric Dickerson, I know for a fact I have 2 Super Bowl rings by now. That being said, I look at Sean McVay. How many times did we see him even look at Jared Goff and like go high? I'm watching this guy run from the sideline all the way down the field. No coaches do that, Derek. This dude is running around like, oh my gosh, we are doing it. And so that's infectious, but that's how he was the first year. But last year, mm-hmm. he just was like, come on. But now this year, you see, I'm watching Stafford throw. I know we'll get into it. And I'm going, yeah. This guy puts the ball on the money. Now he's going like, yeah, man, I actually got a decent line. And I have to believe something was wrong with DeSean Jackson, because you can't now just put him in the game and he just lights it up. It's like, okay, was the dude hurt? Was he in the doghouse? Like, what was going on the first 2 weeks? And so now you have, because I'm watching that dude catch the ball. Oh, yeah, that dude still got speed. So the thing is, they got some real receivers. And again, you got a real quarterback. The line is pretty solid. And you know, from what I saw Sunday, yeah, I would be like Sean McVay too, because they're starting to, again, this is week three. We talked about how much guys in play and timing. And now you see Aaron Donald. We talked about him getting close. Now he's getting home. Week three. Now next week, he's going to be even better. But yeah, to your point, man, a lot of emotions when you look at everything that happened, you know, watching some of these old clips from the 85 and Georgia Frontieri and, hey, John Robinson, you're the best coach ever. But then we had ground out Chuck Knox. And then, you know, then I was gone to Miami at that point. But the thing is, you've seen a lot of these changes from the good years to the NFC Championship to we went 3-13. So, yeah, and then 6-10. And then, you know, you're out of here. And then eventually you get the greatest show on turf. And then it's like you fall back off the wagon or whatever, you know, unfortunately with my guy, Jeff Fisher, that is not your favorite guy, but he's still my guy. That's the best defensive year I had playing for him. But yeah, just excited, man, to see what's going on. And to your point, yeah, just because of the salary cap and the contracts, but I have to imagine now that football's back in full swing, it's going to be a lot more money coming to the table as well.
I just kind of look at this and listen, the team's 3-0. They started off well last year and hit some spots. So I know it's not, it's a long year, but on the surface, even with some of the concerns I have still about the team, every team has its flaws. I know that I don't have to have the old view, the old pessimistic view that, you know, they're going to fall apart like I had from, you know, for much of my life, okay? There is stability in the organization, and I know that for the most part they're going to make the right calls, or they're going to make some bonehead calls, every team does, but I'm thrilled with this stability factor. Like, we can go into the offseason expecting them to try and win. Make it a couple of years from now, we're going to be frustrated to win. All those lack of draft picks come back to haunt them. But the one thing we can always rest our hat on is knowing they did it trying to win. They didn't run from winning. They took the risks, and hopefully they lead to a Super Bowl. If we get one Super Bowl out of it, then I think we'll all call that a success, right? You got a Super Bowl ring out of it. It means, you know, that's what you're there for. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think if, you know, and I think some people are Super Bowl or bust, but the reality is, you know, the things that we saw the Patriots do year after year, that's just kind of an anomaly, because there's too much parity across the board now that you can't really build dynasties like you did in the 70s with the Steelers. And, you know, then the Niners came along because they had guys that literally played together 6, 7, 8, 10 years together. You can't really get that now, except maybe at the quarterback position and maybe at a few of your high draft pick guys. But to your point, because of, I think, management, front office has done a great job trying to do whatever to win. Even getting Matthew Stafford here was an attempt to, let's get this thing while we have what we feel are a lot of the pieces. We just need to shore up this quarterback position a little bit. And again, we don't necessarily need, you know, a Stafford going in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. We'll have to see what is in his career is like. But having said all that, yeah, you feel a certain amount of stability. You don't feel hopeless. You see a team that's 3-0. But you don't see a team that's a lucky 3-0. You know what I mean? You can be 3-0 and go like, woo, we won on the field goal. Woo, but they dropped the ball and we got a safety at the end of the game. No, this is like a legitimate team. And also you have a new defensive coordinator, some guys, a lot of new coaches still that are still gelling. So you just kind of go, man, we're sitting pretty good and things look like they can get even better.
And I agree. I think there is a lot to be excited about, a lot to be, I mean, let's be frank, thrilled about. There are still some concerns, but overall, this franchise is good to go. I mean, look at all the coaches they replaced. Look at all everything that's been replaced, and they're still 3-0 and played their best game of the season last Sunday. That's a nice place to be in, considering. In years past, you see a team lose half their coaching staff, half their front office, you're like, oh, crap, they're screwed. Throw away, trade away first-round picks, second-round picks, and you expect that team to completely fall apart, but they haven't. And for all the times that, I've expressed concerns, and I still have concerns, you would be a moron not to have concerns. I would say that, the stadium itself and everything going with it, it's just a reminder that at least we know the franchise is in stable hands, are trying to win. Overall, they're going to be all right.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, if you pull up any type of highlights, you see the excitement on the field and on the sideline. And again, we could attest to some games last year. Guys were looking at some of the other guys like, hey, man, can you guys do something? But I just look at kind of some of the numbers. When you're able to get in the 30s as far as points scored, and though, Tampa, again, it's Tampa. Tom Brady's not just going to let them not score points. I mean, he was doing some things. You go, yeah, I got to maybe give this dude his due finally. I mean, I still, and maybe because I played against Joe Montana, I just, saw that dude up close, and the stuff he would do is just, it's just incredible. But I'm looking at this Tom Brady guy. I mean, this dude looks like he literally could play till he's 50. And, he's got a good cast around him, core players, and they fit for what he does and what the team needs to do. But when you look at our team, the Rams, we got a guy that's going to be here for a while. And when you got a guy, as they say, as a gunslinger, you got the receivers now that are just, seem like they've been together forever. It just gives you a lot of reason to smile.
There's the thing about this, where the franchise is right now, is that they're going to be competitive every year. Another thing I like about where the franchise is right now is that they seem like they really have found their guy. Like you mentioned it with McVay last year, he wasn't running up and down that sideline. The guy looks stressed to all heavens. And by the way, getting into the football side of it here, for the past 3 years, we've heard people saying, criticizing McVay, saying he doesn't adjust. I go back and check film, Mike, and I'm seeing, hey, wait a minute, he is adjusting. But they can't execute it. Why can't they execute it? So what do we see these first 3 weeks of the year?
Yeah.
They're back at 11 personnel all over again like it was nothing. Yeah. Like we thought right. They couldn't do 11 personnel anymore. They're doing everything they want offensively, even without the running game really established yet.
Right.
What's that tell you? Where was the real problem at? Right. Nobody wants to say. Who was it? Oh, I'll say it. We're finding out it was Goff.
Yeah. Again, I'm telling you, you look at when Stafford comes off the field, they're laughing, he's smiling, genuine discussion, but last year it got to the point where it was like McVay was just like, yeah, man, go sit over there and put your hat on. It's like, man. You can't make the checks or something, you know what I mean? And maybe something, I know something came out late after the season or late in the year that supposedly Goff felt like, McVay lost, support or just, didn't think he could get it done. And so, and again, does that affect you as a player? Of course. If your coach is like, yeah, you're not that good, boss. We got to figure something out. And so, but I'm looking at Goff in Detroit, and I'm kind of trying to give him a fair break. Okay, kind of looks similar, but it's kind of like Detroit. Like, what can you expect? Man. But definite upgrade here. Definite better chemistry you can just see it. It's like this guy is like he has his guy for the next whatever number of years. A couple of years,
but I think if he stays healthy, he'll be here. He'll be there longer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So, all right, folks. Really quick before we move on, want to talk with you really, really quick. Okay, about our sponsors. The big one I mentioned earlier is TickPick. Because, hey, Rams football is back. We've been talking about all show today. And they have a big game this weekend. You know, the Arizona Cardinals coming in. The undefeated Cardinals. Well, go to TickPick because you don't need to go anywhere else to get your tickets anymore. It's TickPick. It's the original no-fee ticket site. It's the only one you'll ever need for all your Rams tickets. They got rid of all those fees that other sites charge. And what this does, it guarantees the best prices on the web. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another site, they will give you 110% of the difference in the ticket price. So, again, the Rams are playing at home at SoFi this Sunday against the Cardinals. Two undefeated teams. It's for NFC West early supremacy. Mike, I'm guessing if you need to get some tickets, you're going to TickPick. If you, because I'm sure you've been buying tickets elsewhere and seeing fees like crazy, right?
I mean, you know, when you see a reduction in fees, that's where a lot of savings comes in.
I mean, that's what matters. So get a chance to go out there and see Matt Stafford, the entire offense, Aaron Donald play against these Cardinals, these up-and-coming Cardinals. Cheaper? Do it. Go to tickpick.com/RTR. Use the promo code RTR and make some magic happen. I promise it's worth it. Again, it's tickpick.com/RTR. Use the code RTR and get yourself a nice, sweet deal to start the new week. All right. Go see those Rams play the Cardinals. Here's a word from the rest of our sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so, Mike, I have a couple. I got some bones to pick here, all right? Or bones to grind. I'm not sure the proper expression is, all right?
Are they rib bones or are they steak bones?
You know, here's the thing. And this really doesn't have anything to do with the Rams at all. Okay? It does a little offhand. But, you know, one of the things that really bothers me over the course of hosting a podcast is hosting a podcast or, you know, interacting with fans online or whatever, or just seeing other members of more of the legacy media, okay? And I'll use the example of Kurt Warner, okay? Kurt Warner last weekend, you know, former Rams quarterback, former Super Bowl MVP, he picks the Bucks to beat the Rams. And you get some fan in one of these Facebook groups, and they do it all the time. It's not just a Facebook group, but it's no one. So they call out Kurt Warner, and they accuse him of you know, being unforgiving for towards the Rams, being, you know, a poor Christian towards the Rams and towards, for, you know, all that jazz, right? Because he never picks the Rams to win games, to win in his picks. And one, that's not true. But B, the thing is this, okay? We've had that criticism lobbied at us, not the same one. You know, you've heard me called a Debbie Downer, a negative Nancy, if I'm expressing some issues concerning the team, like real legit concerns. Okay, I've gotten those emails. We feel those things on social media. You know, I still, even after this great win, we still saw, guess what, that 8-minute drive on the Rams defense where they really struggled to stop Tom Brady. Okay, same thing. Okay. Those are things that concern me, right? Isn't it our job when we cover a team to be upfront with people, even if it's not the happiest news possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, if I think that Matt Stafford has a bad game, which he hasn't yet, by the way, just want to point that out. You know, no matter how much of a fan I am of Matt Stafford and the Rams, is it not our responsibility to be honest with our listeners and say, hey, you know, that was ugly. Okay. This stuff bothers me. Fans are going to be fans. It's a pet peeve to me when people lose sight of reality. And I'll go back to the Kurt Warner example, hearing some of these, a couple of these fans in a group, picking him apart. Like, dude, most of the experts out there picked the Bucks to win this game. And I darn near picked the Bucks to win this game. It took me last second to make the call. I took the Rams to win, I think, 34-27. They won 34-24.
Right.
You know, why is it so wrong for someone to think, hey, you know, I think this team's the better team right now? Shouldn't we be honest in that call? And then, of course, be freaking thrilled when you're proven wrong and the Rams win.
There you go.
Is there something wrong with that?
Yeah. No. I think if, again, you know, if people are really objective and if people are really, you know, consider them serious fans or whatever you consider yourself, you're more likely than not have to. Not that you want to, you kind of would go with the Bucks in the sense of they've been together now a couple years. They have solid coaching staff. They haven't had turnover there, those type of things. We have a new coach. We lost some key players. We need to gel. Okay, we were 2-0 coming in too, but we could have easily been 1-1. So the thing is, reality is, yeah, man, you're playing a good team and you want your team to rise, but I'm pretty sure I had the Bucks winning too, you know, just because of everything being considered, new quarterback versus quarterback, at least been there a year already, turnover in staff, got to get used to players, no preseason play. It's like, yeah, but also Bucks, technically, they said we're playing without a lot of their guys on defense. So their world, they're going to think that, oh, if we'd had a few more of our guys, yeah, certain things wouldn't happen. But yeah, I agree. I think the people that call it like it is are truth. And then you just know that they're more authentic, it seems. Not that, hey, man, let's play up these ratings and, hey, we want you to kind of talk about this. So I just think, I don't know. I haven't really followed Kurtz on his picks that much. Is he that much that they would think that he just anti-Ram?
No, I mean, it's pretty clear at this point. If you're going to ask him who he's really with, you'd say he's a card. And quite frankly, given how his things ended with the Rams, I would say I wouldn't blame him. Okay, but I don't think he has this massive issue with the Rams. I don't think he's this bitter old man about how the Rams were. I mean, the whole organization's changed now. They're not even the same team they were now.
So he's not chewing lemons?
I don't think so. But, you know, it sounds to me like anybody would be saying something like that, they're the ones with sour grapes. He's got a job to do. And again, most of the experts picked the Bucks to win that game. I kind of have a problem because he's more symbolic of what I think, what many of us podcasters hear. You know, guys give those messages. You know, why are you hammering the Rams for? Because it's my job. Like, I'm going to be honest about the things that concern me because I'm watching the game just like you are. I'm just not going to put my head in the sand and ignore the problems. I'm not going to ignore the concerns. You know, this team is 3-0. They're, I think, a pretty good football team. They've still got some issues we have to be concerned with. Things that could get in their way.
Absolutely. But, you know, the time that we've been together, I would say you just are being very objective in looking at what the facts are telling you and what the facts are telling us. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm sure someone's like, oh, well, you know, Stu, you play for him, man. You should really. Well, yeah, truthfully, yeah, I'm pulling for him all the time. But at the same time, if all your running backs are hurt and your lineman is down to the third people, you don't have any receivers, what are you going to say? Yeah, we're going to go out there and beat everybody. No, you're probably not.
So I would say, I would say this. I would say this. If you're a listener who's been new or old, okay. One, I know you love the Rams. You were a Rams fan before you even played for them. You know, I love this team. Okay, I will always be in their corner. All right, but I'm also, if they're messing up, I'm going to call it out because that's the right thing to do. It's integrity. So if you're listening, just to end this segment, I just want to throw that out there. We are going to criticize where they deserve to be criticized. And we're going to praise them. We spent a good chunk of this first part of the show praising them because they deserve it. When they deserve the praise, they're going to get it.
Amen,
they're
going to
get
brother.
It good.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's the amen cry.
Corner. Oh, okay. I thought you said, hey, man. I'm like, what?
No, amen.
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 You know? Hey, the Fonz. So, all right. So really quick here. You know, it's getting late on our end, and quite frankly, I'm tired and cranky. So before we roll, I just want to point out a couple things from the game that I know I really thought went well. A couple things that concern me. Same for you. I can do the same thing and see how, and we'll finish the show off. And by all means, Mike, because I threw this on you without telling you, I'll go first, give you a moment to think. So the two things, I'll go things to work on. The Rams still gave up some long drives. And I'm by talking dink and dunk. They haven't figured out the dink and dunk yet. Sooner or later, against a power team, they're going to get burned. Okay, that's got to get figured out. Can they handle it? They did. They've done it 3 weeks in a row now. All right, but sooner or later, they're going to get burned. So that's one. Two, the running game. They haven't really needed it the last couple of weeks. But they're going to need it eventually. Like, especially against a team like San Francisco with a front seven that's going to be going after. They're going to be going after Stafford the whole game. They need that running game. And they don't really use it much in the first half. They kind of wait till the second half and power it through. We need to see more of a focus on the run game. I'm sure McVay knows that and wants that. Those are two things I'm seeing they need to work on. Okay, things to praise. The way they're spreading the football around. Getting everybody involved. And even when it came down to DeSean Jackson, who didn't see much of anything the first two games, when they got him involved this last weekend, it was like almost like the Bucs didn't expect anything from him. The guy still could fly. So, by the way, Mike, you proved me right there. I mean, you proved me wrong. I was doubtful when, man, DeSean can still go. Okay. He is just as dangerous now as he was 10 years ago. So, the ball distribution, I think, is phenomenal. And also, I want to praise the improved tackling in this game. The Rams tackled so much better. Really, a third thing, too. They have seven penalties in three games, Mike. Seven penalties in three games. That's worth praising.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's worth praising. What did you see?
Yeah, man, I definitely have to pretty much ditto everything you said. I mean, it was definitely nice to see the Rams sustain some drives. You know, one of the keys is, you know, sustain a drive, pick up a first down or two. But obviously, defensively, again, the weather was kind of in our favor. You're playing at home, and your offense is putting up points. If your offense isn't putting up those points, now you're just going to feel more tired regardless if you are or not. You just feel more tired because, like, man, we're losing. We can't get it, you know. But when your offense is actually putting up points and you're on those 10, 12, 15-play drives, you maybe is tired, but psychologically you aren't. So that was good to see. I think I will, you know, and this is maybe nitpicking. I mean, you know, Johnny Heckert is kind of doing this thing, but I don't know. It just seems like something's going on there.
He doesn't seem right, does he?
No.
No.
Not
I mean,
at all.
Even when he had that short kick later in the game, and he definitely, the stats will show he got it inside the 20. I think he had the, like, 13-yard line.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, Johnny Heckert from 2 years ago nails that thing inside the 5. Every time.
You know? Yeah.
Something's not right with Johnny.
Yeah, something's not right. So, we're sitting here kind of, you know, I guess nitpicking. But to your point, definitely tackled a lot better. They are kind of playing, you know, I think what they call, you know, a soft cover 2, cover 4 when they're playing. It looks like they're trying to make them keep it in front of them, come up, make the tackle. But at least they were coming up, making the tackle.
Yeah.
Outstanding. And definitely spreading that ball around, like, you know, when you have a number of guys in the mix. And again, what I like about Stafford and what McVay are doing now, if it's 3rd and 8, yeah, man, we're not just trying to throw deep, you know, or that little flanker screen they would do every single time. No, man, we're going to look. And I saw him literally go through a progression of 4 reads and then drop a dime.
Yes.
Go, yeah, man.
Yes.
Yeah, he's definitely reading the defense. And I go, I like that. You know, he didn't go 1 or 2 and throw it out. You know, no, he went like 1, 2, 3. Oh, right here. Let me hit this real quick. And again, I just look at how he's throwing the ball. And it just seems them balls are on the money. Whether you got to be low, he puts you in a low position. If it's outside, outside. If I drop it over with touch, drop it over with touch. And so the only ball he may have missed, but he got hit on, was the one when DeSean Jackson had broke loose again in the secondary. You know, he was looking like he couldn't find the ball, but he literally outran the ball. But Stafford had gotten hit as he was throwing, so he didn't really get the follow through. And I was like, ooh, thank you. You know, not the thumb. But yeah. All those things that you said, man, you know, defense tackling better, spreading the ball around. We do need a running game, absolutely. And then just the idea that you come out with wins because you're just putting them in the bank. So that's what's key at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, I think that in the end, you know, the continued improvement, I think the team is – the improvement, I think, from week 2 to week 3 was against a better team, by the way. I saw someone really kind of downing the Bears and the Colts. Listen, the Bears have talent. They're missing quarterback play right now. That's going to change as Fields develops. But they're a strong team. The Colts have a lot of talent. That's a good football team. They're much. I know they're 0-3 now. They're not 0-3 talent. That's a playoff team talent that just has a horrifyingly awful schedule to start the year. Okay, so don't look at those two teams and be like, okay, hey, those are bad football teams. Those aren't. No, those are teams that have solid rosters. They are not weak teams. You know, they don't underestimate where the Rams are, and then to go out there and take out Tampa. You know, they made Tampa Bay one-dimensional. They completely took away the running game. And they got more pressure on Tom Brady than I have seen the Rams ever put on him, by the way. Ever. So, you know, that's improved play. I'll take it. I'm happy with it. let's keep going. Let's see them. You know, I guess the only thing I would say that could be a little concerning in terms of keeping that progression up is after a high like that, how will they come out on Sunday against another big opponent, a 3-0 Cardinals team, which is they're pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing of how consistently can you somewhat be, you know, excited, hey, man, we got to win. But you also know, all right, man, we got to get ready for next week as well. Enjoy the one that you won, you know, for a couple days. And then you got to get right back on it during the week and get ready for, again, another good team. But we talked about this at the beginning about just the schedule. And mm-hmm. so, you know, as we went through and we kind of had our picks here and there, but you look at the schedule and go, yeah, now you look at the Cardinals, again, much improved over, you know, last year. But again, this is Kingsbury's third year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he got his third year, got his quarterback. They picked up the big receiver last year. Probably one of the best in the league. I don't see how.
They have Hopkins. They have AJ Green there. AJ Green's lost a step, but he's still AJ Green. You know, right. They have talent. They've got still Chandler Jones in the end. This is a talented Cardinals team, and they're pretty close to being on the cusp. They're going to be, in my view, the Cardinals are going to be a much better team at the end of the year this year than they are right now. And they're 3-0 now.
And you know, at that level, it's all about confidence. So mm-hmm. they're definitely coming in, or we're going in there, right?
We're coming here.
A lot of confidence. Yeah. So, but again, the Rams are starting to get this mystique about winning at home, which now makes it very difficult for teams to come in and take something away from you. So we used to say, hey, man, don't let those people come in and steal the apples out your yard.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, in the past few years, when someone says, hey, Rams house, I mean, you take pride in right. your house, but opposing teams never really felt like it was the Rams house.
No.
Now they like know it. It's the Rams there. House.
No, man, it looked like it's the Raiders house or the Niner house.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the Niners will still, you know, bring down, and there's going to be those fans who, you know, look at how much Niners fans are paying for tickets.
Yes.
And they're going to go sell. Listen, folks. There are going to be Rams fans who want those tickets. Go sell a freaking Rams fan. Don't do that this year. Okay?
Right.
Keep your team with a home field advantage. All right. Hey, we're going to go. We're going to be back, though, on Friday morning with Ed Smith, who is with the Believe Network covering the Cardinals, former NFLer. I'm not sure when he played compared. I don't know if he played the same time you played or not. I got to check on that. But he'll be on with us. We have already recorded that interview. I can tell you he's fantastic. A lot of fun talking with him. We'll be back Friday morning with that. In the meantime, follow Mike on Twitter at 1Duke23. Follow me on Twitter at DC Apollo. You can follow the Rams Talk at Talk Rams. We're on Facebook, the Rams Talk page. Also, the Rams Talk Room is our group. And in the meantime, we're out of here. We'll see you later this week.
See you later, folks.